Today, Joe Biden continues to deteriorate at the climate summit. Colin Kaepernick slammed after comparing being an NFL athlete to being a slave. And Ibram Kendi inadvertently blows up his entire life's work in a now deleted tweet. It is oh so juicy. You are going to want to hang around for that. We've got a jam-packed Monday, and it all starts right now. Hey, welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and you may be thinking to yourself, if you are watching this program, that it looks a little different behind me. You also may recognize this set. I am actually here in Nashville. Quick trip, but I could not miss up an opportunity to visit my good friend, Blaze TV's own Jason Whitlock. This is your studio. Thank you so much for allowing me to come.
No. Thank you for being here. Normally when I look to my right, I see Uncle Jimmy. I prefer this much better.
Oh, now I feel bad. Well, thank you so much. And we've also got, I thought, I cannot be in Nashville and not do a show with the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles.
Well, I am very honored, and I'm sorry when you look to your left, Jason, it's not going to be quite as nice, but that's fine. Wonderful to be with both of you.
Okay, so guys, there's a lot going on with this climate summit we saw over the weekend. Multiple different clips being tweeted out, multiple different reports. Part of me wants to get to President Poopy Pants trending, but I guess we will first go over some of the highlights of this climate summit, some of the more recent highlights. So some weird moments here. This is, of course, the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Summit. And Joe Biden, we saw him. I think we might have him falling asleep. We have a couple different things. But let's first listen to he did a press conference in Rome. And Joe Biden started his press conference and then apologized for showing up late, saying, like, we were playing with elevators. I'm sorry. I don't know. Let's watch.
Please sit down. I apologize for keeping you waiting. We were playing with elevators. Long story. Anyway.
Long story. Really? Long story. We were playing with elevators. Long story. Doesn't sound like that long of a story. Why are you telling the press this?
Because he's Joe Biden, and I think he thinks he's clever and funny. And
he's living in like 50 years ago, Joe Biden
land. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's what happens when you get old and you get a little dementia. Dementia Joe can't crack the jokes the way he used to.
The other problem, and you're absolutely right, his whole career is he's a backslapper and he's a, you know, kisses your baby and tells you a little joke. But what else is he going to say? Joe Biden, the hallmark of his political career is he doesn't actually want anything. He doesn't have any substantive views. He just wants to be the guy. He just wants to be senator. He has no record of accomplishment. He just wants to be the president. It would appear that he's not exactly steering the ship right now. People around him are doing that. And so he gets up there, he makes a few weird remarks, yucks it up with the world leaders, and takes a little nap and then comes home. Fair enough.
I wonder how much money he's probably promised those people since he's been there. Joe just loves giving away money. He's the world's sugar daddy.
Well, are they illegal immigrants? If they're not illegal immigrants, if they're taxpayers.
They're not American citizens.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. But if you are an American taxpaying citizen, no money for you. No money. In fact, we'll just keep taking more of your money. Okay, so I want to get to this weird thing that Joe Biden continues to do. He did it at his Rome press conference again, which is he keeps telling the press that he is being told to start with certain people and certain questions. So here is Joe Biden saying, well, I was told that I should start with AP, so I'm going to call on this AP reporter. Watch.
And now I'm happy to take some questions, and I'm told I should start with AP Zeke Miller. Zeke, you have a question. Didn't recognize you with mask on. I apologize.
So you would think that at this point in his presidency, with the number of times that he's done this, that he has to have someone saying, Joe, stop telling them that we're telling you to pick these people. Just keep that part to yourself. And yet he continues to do this.
Part of it, I think, is that there's no consequence for it. You know, in the old days, Joe Biden was around for the old days.
In the old days, yes.
Around since the Jurassic era. But in the old days, what the left would do in this country was hide their power, hide their contempt for the American people, hide the way that people were pulling the strings behind the scenes. Now they don't really do that anymore. So they'll say, yeah, you know, the powers that be told me to pick some liberal reporters. And so, all right, you, how about you? You ask me a question. We're going to do this song and dance. I won't give you an answer, and then I'm going to go home and not answer any tough questions. And the sad fact here is there's very little that we can do about that because the left controls all of the powerful institutions.
Yeah.
You know, when he first started doing this at the beginning of his presidency, I authentically thought he was rebelling against his puppet masters. I thought it was a way of him alerting people like, I'm not really in control. This really irritates me that they're forcing me to do this. But the longer he's continued to do it, I've kind of flipped to Michael's position of like, hey, because to me this started when the Newsweek or Time article came out and they talked about fortifying the election.
Yep.
There's such an arrogance to what they're doing, and they want you to know that that's what they're doing. We are establishing a new way of doing things, a new world order, whatever you want to call it. And you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. And so we have a puppet president who we tell who to ask questions, we tell him exactly how to respond, and he doesn't have to be competent, and you can't complain about it. It's submission. It's just like, it's putting it in our face that we're in control, you, the American people, are not.
Which would make sense as to why you have to get banned from big tech anytime you ask any sort of questions or give any sort of mild criticism of the president. You know, I saw, I actually was just visiting with over Candace Owens over at Herset, and I spoke with Bryson Gray, who of course has the number one iTunes song, Let's Go Brandon. And I'm thinking this is, they act like this is so offensive to say, Let's Go Brandon and make this song. And yet you had Robert De Niro is standing up saying F Trump at, you know, an event with all of these Hollywood A-listers. And it's like, I think it's fine. I think saying Let's Go Brandon is okay. I think you guys said way, way worse when Trump was in power. So it's interesting to see them kind of switching gears here and acting like it's just so offensive to offer mild criticism.
Well, the problem is Let's Go Brandon is speaking truth to power. People are calling it vulgar. It's actually the opposite of vulgar, right? They've de-vulgarized the real expression, which is a little bit more colorful.
Yeah.
But it's speaking truth to power, and so they don't like it. I just read, speaking of the climate summit, that Greta Thunberg, the climate activist, who the left doesn't trot her out as much anymore because now she's older and they're going to move on to somebody else who is younger. They said she's going to protest the climate summit. Protest what? Yeah, the activists, the so-called protesters, and the media, and the governments, and the universities, and big tech, they're all on the same team. So it's just a performance. They are play-acting political opposition when, in fact, the ruling class is on the same page on just about everything.
Sarah, your point, I'm trying to think of the redheaded female comedian that
Kathy
wanted
Griffin,
Trump
right?
wanted Trump beheaded.
Yeah,
Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin,
and,
right.
And to look and see people on the left react to a pilot of a Southwest flight, as if, oh my God, he's gone beyond the pale. He said, let's go bring, he's cracked a joke at the end of a Southwest flight. That is somehow worse than the things we saw over the previous 4 years. It's just mind boggling to me. I when it was first reported, I was like, how is this news?
Right.
I mean, like, if TMZ reports this, I get it. But this was Reuters, the AP. This was like legitimate. One pilot cracks a slightly inappropriate joke, and it's major news?
And, okay, so I'll say this, too. I have that. We're going to talk about that later in the program, and I want to get your take on it because I have the audio. And the kicker is I don't even think that that's what he's saying. I think the leftists just want it, like they hear what they want to hear. And I think, I want to get back to that. I want to get back to that. I don't want to give too much away. But let me, so when we're talking about Joe Biden, let me play Joe Biden. Michael, you alluded to it earlier. Joe Biden taking a nap, I guess. He's appearing to just nod off during one of these climate speeches. Watch.
This conference is one of the most important meetings in history.
Oh, there he goes. Oh, is he back with us? I don't know. Oh, boy. That is... All right, that's good. That's good. This poor man, he needs privacy for his nap.
Now, you know, in Joe's defense, I can't believe I've got to defend Biden. Every single one of us would have fallen asleep at that thing, too.
It's
that
fair.
Must have been the most boring, ridiculous.
Yeah. It's fair. That is fair. I will give him a pass for that one, I guess. But then I also wonder, too, is he just breathing in too much of his own carbon dioxide? Because he's got that mask so tight to his face.
I think they serve turkey in the green room beforehand.
Yeah, there it is.
Has it with that trichin or so.
A tryptophan, yeah.
I think that's what... It's like it's almost holiday season. It's Thanksgiving. We'll all be napping very shortly.
So we give him a pass on this. We give him a pass on this. So let me ask you guys. Let me go back to something that you both kind of agreed on, which is Joe Biden is the puppet. Someone else is pulling his strings. I always like to ask people, who do you think is pulling the strings? Who is it ultimately?
It's the blob. I call them the blob. This is even scarier than saying it's Soros. Or, you know, look, yeah. Soros donates a lot of money. He actually is throwing very important races.
Right.
And there are other leftist financiers as well. But it's just the blob. It's the whole thing. If Joe Biden, I don't wish any ill on Joe Biden. If Joe Biden disappeared tomorrow, the blob would keep functioning. And the administrative state would keep functioning. All those executive agencies, the universities, big tech. The president is in some ways superfluous to this. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, if he does not prove the superfluity of the presidency, I don't know who could.
I'm going to say something a bit more dangerous.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to blame the military-industrial complex and the intelligence agencies. And part of me thinks that their coup started in 1963 with the political assassination. And they finally have just come out of the closet that they're in complete control of American society. Dwight Eisenhower told us about it in his farewell speech as president. And we're living, when I look at the mainstream media, corporate media, how much they kiss the military and intelligence agencies' rear end and everything they say is scripted, I think it's clear as day that that's who's running the country.
What do you do if you are the left? Like, do you want Biden replaced? Because you look at Kamala and she is even more unlikable. Somehow she's even more unlikable. So I'm like, what is their play even? You would think, okay, this is embarrassing. We need him to go away. But look at who he would be replaced with. So what are you even hoping for at this point?
I think they're beyond embarrassment.
Really?
I don't think embarrassment is remotely a part of their thought process. Joe Biden doesn't embarrass them. Joe Biden does exactly what he's told to do. And if you hear people on the left, I read something today, I thought, where someone was, you know, just singing Joe, at least he doesn't embarrass us on a national stage. And that, it's like, as long as he doesn't send out any tweets, mm-hmm. and as long as he doesn't say anything that offends a left person, he uses the right pronouns or pretends to use the right pronouns, they're perfectly fine with Joe being a puppet because it's a message to all of us. Again, what they're doing to the January 6th people,
yep.
It's a message to all of us. Mm-hmm. You better not try us. We got a puppet in the White House, and we will throw you in jail for dissent.
That is a great point that you bring up, Jason, because a lot of people do. They say, well, at least he's not tweeting mean things. At least he's not embarrassing us on a world stage. And it's like, no, he is embarrassing us on a world stage. Look how weak he looks compared to everyone else. We are always, always coming from a position of weakness now when we see Joe Biden on a world stage.
But a lot of people ask, what does it even mean to project American power? I mean, we had the debacle in Afghanistan, and obviously it was so incompetently handled, the withdrawal. But there were a lot of conservatives who were supporting the withdrawal of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is they were wondering, what are we doing there? Are we in Afghanistan so that we can raise the pride flag over Kandahar? Well, count me out. You know, that if that is what American power means, then I guess I don't really want to project that kind of American power. And so what you're talking about, Jason, I mean, this is also what I'm alluding to here with the blob, is this idea that there is a kind of regime in American politics, and maybe the parties change, increasingly less so, and maybe the color of the tie changes, but the pace of progress, quote unquote, the way in which our way of life and our rights and our liberties is being upended, that doesn't really change. That really only goes in one direction.
The other thing I think when I talk about are the military and particularly corporations and what we're seeing, America's been emasculated. Yeah. We're laying down for China. And that means our corporations, our military, we're afraid of China. Mm-hmm. And people, it's like America's being shorted, sold out by our politicians, are the corporations that started here but are now more interested in the 1.4 billion people in China. And I sit here, those of us that are offended by this, those of us that believe that, look, man, that's China, fine. But they don't have our values. If we return to our values that made this country great, we'd have no problem with China.
Yeah.
But we're rejecting them and laying down, and we're an emasculated, not to be offensive, but a feminized country right now. And I blame American men. We have let the world down, and particularly Americans.
Well, something you're hitting on really well here, too, is you say, I don't want to be offensive when I say that we're a feminized country. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a woman acting womanly.
Right.
But when a man acts, you don't even say womanly, you say womanish. I mean, the problem here is that we've totally confused all the male and female virtues, and we've somehow taken the worst of all of it, and the result can only be national disaster.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we've got more to come, but we want to first thank our sponsor, Omega XL. So I don't know if you realize this, you have like 360 joints from your neck down each vertebrae to your back, your arms, your hips, your knees, your feet. That's a lot of joints that when you reach the age that I have, you're just like, you can wake up in the morning and be like, I pulled something. What were you doing? I was just sleeping. I don't know. I just woke up and now I hurt. So if you are one of millions of Americans who you just live in pain, you got to try Omega XL. All right. So Omega XL actually neutralizes the inflammation in your body. So it's not going to be like a topical cream that you're going to rub on and it feels great for 10 minutes. And then you're back in pain again. You really want to try Omega XL if you've got maybe you've got arthritis or you were in a car accident and you've got messed up discs like I do. You want to try Omega XL. If you can get out of pain, it can be life-changing. If you order Omega XL, you will get a second bottle for free over at OmegaXL.com/news. That is OmegaXL.com/news. Southwest Airlines, they are going to conduct an internal investigation into a pilot who was captured on video, they say, saying, as we alluded to earlier, let's go Brandon, over the flight's intercom system. Now, this was a flight, I would just like to point out, before we listen to the audio, this was a flight that was going from Houston to Albuquerque, and Southwest says they are conducting an internal investigation into the recently reported event and will address the situation directly with any employee involved, while continuing to remind all employees that public expression of personal opinions while on duty is unacceptable. They say Southwest does not tolerate any behavior that encouraged divisiveness, as it does not reflect the Southwest hospitality and inclusiveness for which we are known and strive to provide each day on every flight. So we talked about it earlier. I heard the audio from this. I didn't realize it existed until this morning. And I heard it, and I really don't think that he is saying, let's go Brandon. You guys may recall that there is a World Series being played. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is a team that begins with a B and an R and an A. Okay, so I would just like to, let's listen to the full audio of this pilot, and then we can go back and listen to just that one part after that.
By the east, about 7 or 8 miles an hour. Good visibility, mostly clear skies, 77 degrees. Thanks for coming out and flying with Southwest Airlines. Welcome aboard. And remember, let's go Bray.
Okay, so I heard, let's go Bray, and then it cuts off. That's what I heard. Can you guys hear it?
I heard what you heard. Okay. I never heard the ending.
Right. I don't hear the vzz. Okay, let's just play the let's go part of it. Let's listen to that really quickly. Go ahead. Sounds like Let's Go Bray.
Wow, and what's so interesting about this angle, you're the first person I've heard who has brought this up that it might not be Let's Go Brandon. I'm kind of disappointed, actually.
What
this would suggest is that someone released this audio, deceptively edited the audio to cut it out before you could hear either vzz or nden to set this guy up and to gin up people's political excitement, which would be par for the course these days.
And that's why I'm like, okay, I know you guys and I know how you operate and I know that this is what you do all the time. I would not put it past the left to do that. And also, again, this was a flight from Houston to Albuquerque. So the idea that a pilot would be kind of trying to crap on Houston a little bit, just for fun, right? Poking fun and saying like, hey, remember, Let's Go Braves, to me is more plausible than a pilot wanting to lose their job by saying, Let's Go Brandon.
The other thing, my understanding of the story is there just happened to be this AP reporter on the flight.
Right.
And that's what elevated the story, because if there's no reporter on the flight, does someone really get off that plane and call the media and say, you know what, on my Southwest flight, a pilot said, let's call Brandon. They would think, well, no, I wouldn't. I might tell my friends this, but I wouldn't tell the media. And so I tend to lean where you're going. This is a made up. This is Jussie Smollett all over again.
I mean, that's
what this is. And for Southwest to be launching an investigation, because we know this, if he had said Black Lives Matter, there would be no investigation. There would be no controversy. Mm-hmm. That statement would have been just as polarizing. Half the people on that plane, or maybe more, maybe 70%, would have been upset by that. But no one would care. And again, maybe Southwest is one of the few corporations that hasn't swallowed all the Marxist Black Lives Matter crap, but everybody else has. Sarah, you're on to something.
it also just would make more sense from a common sense perspective, which is part of the Southwest brand is they have kind of eccentric, cute, funny little lines over the intercom. Yeah. But it's not that they get political one way or the other.
Right.
And so does it make more sense? I guess it's possible, but does it make more sense that the pilot would go out risking his job, risking getting in the middle of this political controversy, or that he was making a cheeky comment about a baseball game?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I do tend to think, too, with the left, they're just looking for things to get outraged about. It's like they want to be angry all the time. I don't understand how they can live in this world where they're just perpetually angry at everything, at any sort of perceived slight, at any sort of perceived criticism. They're just so angry all the time. And then, you know, I know you mentioned Jussie Smollett, but also, who was the reporter that there was, I forget what it was, it was some sort of riot or something, and there were earplugs on the ground, and they were like, can anyone confirm? I think these are bullets, rubber bullets, or whatever it was.
Lafayette Park, I think.
Yeah, and
these are bullets.
Like,
or there's a, remember they said there was a noose in the NASCAR garage?
Yes.
Just the hook to pull the garage down.
Yes. Right. And then there are all the, I hear all the time now that there are these. Well, they say that it's a crime. It's some sort of a racist crime that, you know, someone, not just the noose, but on a college campus, someone spray painted, you know, a nasty racist word. And then it turns out, we find out 2 months later, oh, by the way, that was actually a hoax. And it was set up by the victim.
That happens constantly. I lay out a number of those in my book, Speechless, because it comes out time and time again. And you actually saw it over the weekend at the Glenn Youngkin rally for the Virginia race. There are so few white supremacists, neo-Nazi skinheads, whatever, that the left has to invent them and send the fake white supremacists to go give the illusion of racial bigotry.
It was interesting, too, because I think I saw a black white supremacist there as well, which is always amazing.
Very confused.
What is with that, Jason?
There's such a shortage of racism to get upset about that we're now producing it in factories and sending it out. We've built a society, Sarah, and this goes back to my comments earlier about how feminized the society is, and maybe it's not even feminine, but we built a society based on feelings, not on rules and laws. Mm-hmm. We used, again, it's like people, the civil rights movement wasn't about feelings. It was about, hey, remove this law that forces segregation, that denies me being able to eat at the at a lunch counter, sit where I want on a bus, blah, blah. There were rules and laws we were fighting. It wasn't about feelings. You're never going to create a society where no one ever says anything that bothers your feelings.
Right.
And so, but feelings now are the highest commodity and the highest priority we have. If someone does anything to disturb your feelings, if they asked you a question about your behavior that makes you feel momentarily uncomfortable, well, God, that's either racism, sexism, homophobia. It's something that must never happen. Societies can't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
People have to toughen up. We got sticks and stones. We have to go back to that. But we again.
How do we do that? I feel like we're so far down in the gutter. How do we do that?
Well, I mean, for me, and the point of whole point of view of my show that we do at Blaze TV is about the only, we got to return to Jesus and the Bible.
Yeah.
And if and like when you have a Christ-centered society, and that doesn't mean everybody's a believer, but we did have Judeo-Christian values driving this country. And so once you're focused on God and Jesus, if Sarah calls me fat, I don't melt.
I would never.
But if it would be legitimate. Corey calls me fat all the time. I wouldn't melt.
Right.
Because, like, my identity is through somebody higher than Sarah, Corey, Rob, Michael Knowles. And we have this society where other human beings are our gods.
Yeah.
This is such an important point, Jason. And this is where it's not just the left. I'm happy to blame the left for almost everything. But the right has helped this along because the right has adopted a kind of relativism. The right has backed itself into this position where some people on the right are not willing to say that drag queen story hour is bad and obviously should be banned. And it's ridiculous that it's in these libraries. And so What you're saying, Jason, is we need to get back to a Christ-centered society, meaning we got to get back to a society where, well, I mean, literally it should be Christ-centered, but it, you know, in the philosophical realm, some things are true and some things are false and some things are good and some things are bad and some things are beautiful and some things are ugly. And we need to be able to say that and we can all recognize that we all have eyes, we all have brains, and we need to be able to push for the true and the good and the beautiful stuff and to discourage all that other stuff, or else we're just going to be living in this relativistic soup.
Yeah. I want to follow up on that and just say, argue to people too. Not everything is for everybody. Mm. And we're building a society where and I'm just sorry, and if you're offended, you might have to turn the channel. But I make this argument all the time. There was a long period in my life where I was sexually promiscuous. I really didn't believe in monogamy. I loved to hang out in strip clubs with my friends. I'm not fit to be married. Mm. And so marriage wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And so marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what I believe. That's what the Bible teaches me. And if you have desires, like I did, to hang out in strip clubs and be really promiscuous, or to like someone of the same sex, maybe marriage isn't for you. And we shouldn't create a society that's, oh, well, you like 14-year-old kids, and so you can get married to them. You like, not everything is for everybody. And that, look, 36 size jeans, they're not for me, so I don't try to squeeze into them.
Right.
And it's not your fault that I can't get into it's my fault.
Yeah.
This is, I like McDonald's.
Right.
So,
but this is such an important point, because what you're saying is, look, marriage has a meaning, and now we're pretending that it can mean anything. Now,
right.
You know, we've now said it means like two things, but pretty soon it'll be three or four or five. That's already happening with the new polygamy movement. But it actually does have a meaning, and we can limit these things, but it's gone beyond marriage now to sex itself. If I'm a man and I think that I'm a woman or I want to be a woman, we're now erasing women from the culture and saying that I can be
and creating new rules to reflect whatever. If I wake up tomorrow and feel like a woman, this whole, everybody here has got to adjust and there's going to be new rules. It's.
Yeah.
There's no end to that.
Well, I can't wait to see you in a dress. That'll be fun. All right, we've got to take a break. But first, we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Birch Gold Group. So inflation, I know you guys, I don't have to tell you this, it's already going crazy. It is right at the highs of the last couple decades. And now Democrats are, of course, pushing for more spending, which is always great when you are already in inflation. If you are freaked out like I am about the impact this additional spending is going to have on already high inflation, you got to protect your savings. Diversify your savings into physical gold and silver with Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold Group is the company that I recommend for precious metals. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They've got a ton of five-star reviews, thousands of satisfied customers. They can help you protect your hard-earned savings. All right. By the way, thanks to a little-known section of IRS tax code, you can legally move your IRA or 401k into precious metals with no tax implications, no penalties. Don't wait until it's too late. Get started on protecting your savings with a gold tax-sheltered account. Request a free info kit from Birch Gold. You can text the word Y. That's W-H-Y. I don't know. I just like to tell you. I don't want anyone going like, just Y, just the letter Y. Don't do that. Okay, it's Y, W-H-Y, to 989898. That is the word Y to 989898. So I am told, Jason, that you did what nobody else wanted to do, which is watch the new Colin Kaepernick documentary out, Colin in Black and White. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay? Can we get you anything?
Look, I'd like to be informed about what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So I put myself through the torture of watching all six episodes. Each episode's about 30 minutes. So it was a three-hour investment.
Oof.
And it's as bad as you could imagine.
Ugh. Really?
It's actually worse than what you could imagine. And people are so caught up in his analogy to slavery, mm-hmm. and the, mm-hmm. and that is the first scene of the documentary. But it gets worse from there. And it's really a series about, and we talked about this today on my show, it's really a series about Colin's daddy issues.
Mm.
He's obsessed or tortured by the fact that he doesn't know his black father, his biological father. He has all kinds of identity issues built around that. And I say, what Colin Kaepernick took a knee because he really wanted to climb a stripper pole and dance. He's got the same daddy issues as a stripper.
Yeah, Michael, I want to get your thoughts, but let me go ahead and play this part. Jason, you just mentioned it, where Kaepernick, he really legitimately compares NFL athletes making millions of dollars to slaves. Watch.
Before they put you on the field, teams poke, prod, and examine you, searching for any defect that might affect your performance. No boundary respected. No dignity left intact.
Come on, boy, hurry up. Look at that shape there. Look at this. Mr. Farber, I got your bid. 30, James, 30 to you. 100. So, next one coming up, best one we got. Look at this here. Come on, who wants this? 700. There we go now. 1,000.
1,000. I'm telling you what I want.
Yeah, I heard you. So.
Listen, I'm just saying, if slavery is the kind of thing where you can go play a game and make millions of dollars, sign me up.
Well, the most remarkable thing about the comparison here is if playing professional football is like being a slave, think about how many times Colin Kaepernick has asked someone to enslave him. He's tried so many times, please, someone enslave me, and people don't want to enslave him, and then he complains about that. So not playing in the NFL, that's akin to slavery, that's racial oppression, but also playing in the NFL is akin to slavery and racial oppression. This poor millionaire can't just catch a break.
If Colin Kaepernick were Kunta Kinte, and I may be dating myself, you guys may not have seen Roots, but What he did was it would be Kunta Kinte building a ship in Africa and sailing it across the ocean to come to America to volunteer for slavery. That was, so we got to totally remake Roots.
Right.
And Kunta Kinte built his own boat to come over here to work for Massa Reynolds.
Well, there's this real, it's a great comparison. And there's this irony too, which is Colin Kaepernick is saying that, forget about just the NFL, if you are in any field that is really primarily physical. Mm-hmm. So obviously professional sports, right? That's just about physical excellence primarily, but other endeavors where you work with your hands, why then you're just like a slave, right? You're just being examined for your body. But your body is what you're selling in these fields. So what he wants is to present himself as this great intellect, as this real thought leader. But he doesn't even recognize that the comparison he's making doesn't work. And it's really sad because he's even dressing up like Malcolm X and he's got the affect. He's like Malcolm X without the intellect, without the sacrifice, without the seriousness. Marx said that history repeats itself, first as tragedy, then as farce. Yeah. We're watching the farce, right?
I want to correct you a little bit, though. He's not dressing up as Malcolm X. That's T'Challa from the Black Panther. Seriously, that's his costume.
Fair
he's
enough.
He's got Huey Newton's wig on, yep, the afro. And I'm going to really date myself again. If you've seen In Living Color,
yes,
there was Oswald Bates, this prison inmate character that said all these discombobulated things, but he thought he was being real intelligent. That's who Kaepernick is. He's
wow.
Oswald Bates in a Huey Newton wig and a T'Challa Black Panther costume.
You've got him pegged. You've got him pegged. All right, we've got more to come, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Patriot Mobile. So we talk all the time as conservatives about making sure that we are finding companies that we can put our dollars with and know that they don't hate you, want you wiped off of the planet. Patriot Mobile is that company. If you have a cell phone, which everyone does these days, you got to make sure that you are not with Big Mobile. Big Mobile is actually donating a part of your money and sending it to places that are fighting to have your guns taken away, who are, they're supporting Planned Parenthood. Don't do that, all right? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have the same nationwide coverage. All the carriers use the same towers, all right? But Patriot Mobile will have plans to fit any budget. They have 100% U.S.-based customer support. And Patriot Mobile, more importantly, shares your values and supports organizations fighting for things like religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and, of course, our veteran and first responder heroes. You can go to patriotmobile.com/news. You can get free activation with the offer code news. By the way, if you are a veteran or first responder, they have more discounts for you on top of their already awesomely priced deals. So you can support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values over at patriotmobile.com/news. That is patriotmobile.com/news. All right, Boston University professor Ibram X. Kendi, who is, of course, a prominent advocate of anti-racism, had to delete a tweet on Friday because it was the greatest, most spectacular self-own I think we may have ever seen. So let's see this tweet that is now deleted. It said, more than a third of white students lied about their race on college applications, and about half of these applicants lied about being Native American. More than three-fourths of these students who lied about their race were accepted. How is that for white privilege? Well, they're so privileged that they feel the need to lie about their race.
This was a great success for Ibram Kendi. He has finally dismantled systemic racism.
He finally did it. He did it.
He dismantled the whole idea of it, as a matter of fact.
I mean, imagine doing what Ibram Kendi does every day and then going out and tweeting this and not realizing, oh crap, wait, this actually blows up my entire life's work.
I don't believe he's a real person.
The hologram?
I say that in some seriousness in terms of, like, he's just a prop, a plant.
Yeah.
It's like Ta-Nehisi Coates was playing this role for a while and then made a bunch of money and said, I'm going to retire. I'm going to fade to the background. We need someone to fill in for me. And so they found this knockoff Gucci bag, Ibram X. Kendi. And he's trying his poor little heart out, and he's trapped in a web of stupidity. And again, once you illegalize truth, insanity is all that can come from you. And so that's what he emotes, insanity. And, it's funny what what happened here, but he doesn't believe the stuff he says. It's just a job. It's just a role he's playing.
He's just profiting off of it.
You know, he obviously knows that when he sent that tweet, it undermined his thesis, and he denied that later, but he deleted the tweet, so obviously he knows it undermined his thesis. But the way he got away with it, and the way he's going to keep getting away with it, by the way, is one of the final tweets that he sent in response. He knew it was in damage control all weekend. And he said, if there is no systemic racism, by the way, his first tweet proves there is systemic racism in the other direction,
in the opposite
right?
way.
College against white and Asian applicants. Yeah. But he says, if there's no such thing as systemic anti-black, anti-Native American racism, then how come there are disparate outcomes when it comes to income, when it comes to education, when it comes to... And what he's daring you to say is, there might be a problem in the black community.
Right.
There might be a problem with fatherlessness. There might be a problem with certain social pathologies. He's daring you to say that. And, I mean, all of us here are willing to say, yeah, obviously right. culture matters, decisions matter, fathers in the home matter. But a lot of people will not. They're going to stay quiet, and they're going to continue to go along with this hoax of critical race theory and all of its derivatives.
Well, if he really wanted to follow his logic and argument and take it where it really needs to go in an honest place, is... he should acknowledge that culture matters and that who is assigning this pathological culture to black people. Mm-hmm. And it's actually white liberals.
Yeah.
And he should point that out. And I don't have a problem with him saying, like, man, there are some racists in America that are trying to damage black people.
Yep.
But he needs to acknowledge who it actually is.
Yep.
That the people in control of Hollywood, the music industry, all of this culture that says, you know, black dads, they don't matter. We don't even need to talk about it. It's all racism. That's white liberals. White conservatives are sitting around saying, you know what? Y'all need daddies. And it's a fact. It's the truth. It would be like me saying, if Sarah said, Jason, don't stop at McDonald's on your way home tonight. That ain't racism. That's just good advice.
Yeah. Okay, so do you guys, we only have a couple seconds left, but I do want to ask, I'm very, very interested in the Youngkin-McAuliffe race. And I know that there has been a big swing there lately. I know that voters there are now all of a sudden very, very interested in education as opposed to the economy now all of a sudden. Do you think that that is because of all this craziness, the CRT that's being promoted in schools and that kind of thing?
Hold on, Sarah.
Uh-oh.
I just heard today that anytime you talk about education and parental rights, that's really white supremacy.
That's right.
White racial policy.
I forgot
right.
only white people like to be involved in their kids' education.
Literally,
that's not racist.
Literally what he's saying is that black people don't have parents, so parents going to schools and voicing their opinions, only white people do that.
Right, right.
Black people, we rely on the government. We turn our kids over to the teachers and the educators and the leftists. That's their job.
Yeah, amen. Oh my gosh. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'll let you get that in. All right, we've got about a minute left, but Michael, I want to give you a chance to respond.
Well, I agree with Jason's point here, and I also think that the reason the left is so focused on getting us all to shut up about the education thing and stop going to school boards is because they know that we're right over the target. This is the first grassroots movement I've seen of conservatives and people in the middle and all sorts of races and colors and shapes since the Tea Party. And I think that really galvanized people. This is the cultural answer to that. It's a Republicans' winning ticket. It's the CRT party, and we should follow this all the way to the ballot box.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The left, as we so often see, has overplayed their hand on this education issue. All right, so Michael, your new book, Speechless. I'm still calling it new. I know it came out a little bit ago, but your latest book, Speechless, available everywhere they can buy the books?
Everywhere they can buy it. The New York Times tried to shut it up, but we still hit number one national bestseller. So thank you to everyone who's bought it. This one has words.
Yeah, this one does have words. Also, make sure that you catch Jason Whitlock over at Blaze TV. You are really missing out if you are not yet tuned in. And thanks for letting me borrow this again.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.